Coddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
We're going to reflect more on the Champions League final with a man who knows exactly what Spanish football is all about. Delighted to be joined by Sky Sports' Rob Palmer. Morning, Rob.
Morning, how you doing?
I'm fit and well, Rob. Hope you are too. Having enjoyed Real Madrid's win over the weekend, no doubt.
Yeah. I'm over in Spain at the moment, looking at the sun kind of rising over the Mediterranean down below.
Lucky man.
Purely for research purposes, of course. Yeah, it was a brilliant performance, wasn't it, from Real Madrid up against a much fancied Juventus team. People thought the Juve team maybe had it and tactically were as good as Real Madrid, but I think Ronaldo and co, and especially Zidane as a manager, just proved that they are in a different class at the moment to absolutely anybody in European football.
And yet again, the man steps up to the plate on the big occasion. Time and time again, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, earlier in the season, especially after his achievements last summer with Portugal, it looks maybe as though he had possibly peaked at the Euros with his country. And early in the season, he looked a little bit tired, a little bit jaded. He was rested for a short while, and he's come back, and in some ways he's reinvented himself. We're not seeing the multiple step overs anymore. We're not seeing him with a burst of pace, but what we've seen is he's kind of reinvented himself, if you like, as a, I hate the expression, a number nine, but he's reinvented himself as a striker rather than as a winger. And he's a true inspiration to Real Madrid. And in many ways, he was the difference between the two teams. And he has been the difference between Real Madrid and Barcelona in the Spanish league this season as well. Mm.
I mean, incredible now to look at his record, which I've got in front of me, which shows 600 career goals in 855 appearances. But his very record for Real Madrid, you know, for someone to score more than a goal a game, 406 goals in 394 appearances, it's just incredible.
I have to write this down. Just doing my research. I'm doing the Portugal game this week against Latvia on Friday night. So I've spent the morning immersed in statistics. So yeah. It's incredible. You could write a complete reference book on what he has achieved. And he achieves it in the major tournaments. He achieves it in the Euros. He achieves it in Champions League finals. He scores goals in all of the big games as well. He scored 600 goals, but a fair proportion of those have been against the big teams. Okay, we occasionally score four against a lower team, but when he's scoring great goals against the likes of Juventus in finals, and he's belittling other big teams as well, you realise just how great he is. And you know, we are very lucky that we're in the era of Messi and Ronaldo. We've probably got the two greatest players there ever has been and ever will be, both at the peak of their powers at this moment in time.
I mean, he loves the big stage, doesn't he? He'd have probably been a bit disappointed that Asensio comes on and notches the 4-3. Really, they take a little bit of his glory away. Is that the way Ronaldo works?
Maybe in the past. I think what was actually was quite telling is that when he scored, he was there and he ran to his teammates. It's quite often the celebration. He goes off and he preens himself and he's practiced the celebration and he's kind of in his own sphere. But it was quite interesting to see in the Champions League final that he ran to his teammates and he was very much part of the team. And maybe it's part of the maturing of him as well. Somebody said to me, that's it now. You know, he's reached everything. But he's determined that he thinks he can go on until he's 40, 41 years of age. And he's, you know, his physical condition is phenomenal as well. And I think he's maturing a little bit like that. He's becoming more of a team player. I mean, recently he's been left out of games away from home. I think he missed five away games.
Yes, later on in the season.
A couple of games, indeed, a couple of games where Zidane has taken him off with 10, 15 minutes to go to preserve him for the next game as well, which Ronaldo, 18 months, 2 years ago, would not have stood for. But I think he's beginning to realise now that people are kind of looking out for him, and that's going to prolong his career.
Should we be lauding Zinedine Zidane a little more, given his achievements now at Real Madrid?
Yeah, I write a column for an English-speaking newspaper over here in Spain. And I made that the focus last week, that people really maybe don't realise what Zidane has achieved there. He came in and replaced a man we know in Merseyside as a great manager in Rafa Benitez, who's lived up to Newcastle and Valencia and wherever he's been. Yeah. And Rafa couldn't do it at Real Madrid. He couldn't contain all of the egos. He couldn't get the tactics together. He couldn't select a team which pleased the president and pleased the fans as well. And Zidane has come in, and what he's done, he's picked a team which is based on who should play in what position, their form, and not necessarily on how many shirts the players are going to sell, or which player the president likes the most, or which player has been bought for the most money as well. And he has absolutely transformed Real Madrid. It's not an easy team to manage because you've got so many egos and so many expectations and so many agents and a president that likes to have a Galactico in the team all of the time as well. And he's done magnificently. And he's very clever. That, you know, so many away games, he's made 9 changes away from home. He's kept the players fresh. Mm. He's balanced everything. And I'll stick my neck out here. I think he could prove to be as important for Real Madrid as Johan Cruyff was at Barcelona, and maybe Pep Guardiola as well in the short space of time that he had at Barca as well. But I think Zidane is going to be, he's a legend as a player, but I think he's going to be one of the all-time great managers.
And I think he's not just got this team now, but he seems to be, able to deliver a team for the future maybe as well. He's got players coming through that you could look at and say, these are going to be around for a while.
Well, that's the thing. The secret for Barcelona for a long time was that they had the players coming through La Masia, their famed academy. And you had the likes of Xavi and Iniesta and Puyol and Valdez and Lionel Messi. And you look at Real Madrid now and you look at their bench, and they very cleverly had the likes of Casemiro, who scored the goal the other night, who's probably the player with the least amount of stardust. They bought him as a youngster. They sent him out. They brought him back after he'd been away on loan. Carvajal, the fullback. Asensio's coming through. Lucas Vasquez is on the bench. They've got a couple of guys, two Llorentes that have been loaned out this season, one to Alaves, one to Malaga. And they've got maybe a dozen players that are there, 22, 23 years of age, waiting to come through. So they've got the next generation. They signed a lad the other week, didn't they, from Brazil, who paid $45
million
for a 16-year-old. So they're thinking 4 or 5 years, you know, everybody laughs and ha-ha-ha. But he's probably the best 16-year-old out there on the planet. And they've gone, right, we'll have him. We'll get him now before anybody else does. He can nurture himself in Brazil. We'll bring him in when he's 18 or 19. You know, probably his market value then will be $150 million in 4 or 5 years' time. So and I think Zidane's behind it, because previously the president would have just said, well, who's done the best in the Euros? Who's done the best in the World Cup? We must sign him, which they did with James Rodriguez. They did with David Beckham in the past. Mm. And they've bought trinkets rather than footballers. Yeah. And there's a bit of deep thinking going on there at the moment.
Yeah. Just going back to the final itself on Saturday, were you a little disappointed in Juventus, who certainly started the game well, but were just overrun in the second half, really? Didn't look as though they turned up.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, we were trying to find a television stream. So at one point, we were 10 minutes behind, and the commentators were saying, Juventus have dominated this. Oh my goodness. And then we kind of caught up with it as we were watching it. But just as the game went on, it's all part of Zidane's plan. It's almost the Italianization of Real Madrid as well. And they don't panic. They settle themselves into a game, you know, that they lay it brick by brick. And now, I don't think we should be disappointed by Juve. I think they played well, but sometimes you've just got to hold your hand up and say, we're beaten by a much, much better team.
And it's a shame for Mandzukic, who probably scored one of the great European final goals that will quickly be forgotten because of the result in the end.
Yeah, the fact that we're still talking about it a couple of days later proves that it was one of the all-time great goals. It was the kind of goal that, you know, that the kids play on their FIFA boxes and in front of the television. And it was a wonderful, wonderful goal. But they just couldn't come up with anything better than that. And I think it probably sums up Juventus that, you know, they peaked, but there was no consistency during the game. And Real, you always score against Real Madrid. I think I had a stat that the keeper, Keylor Navas, hadn't had a clean sheet in something like his last 16 matches. So there's always a chance against them.
But Real Madrid score in every game, Rob, don't they?
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the old Kevin Keegan philosophy, isn't it? You just outscore the opposition no matter what the score is. And Real do score with great frequency.
So it's Portugal in Latvia for you on Friday. That's a World Cup qualifying game. I presume Ronaldo will play.
Yes, Ronaldo's there. He's part of a 23-man squad, or 24-man squad. And then they go off to the Confederations Cup as well. They played a friendly at the weekend. They won 4-0. Then they go away, and it's kind of... And he's been told, he's maybe assured his country that he's going to play in the Confederations Cup.
It never ends,
for Portugal
Rob.
As well. It never does end, and that's the only danger. I mean, he did come back jaded after the Euros last year, and I think it took him 3 months to actually find himself again.
Yeah.
And that's the only danger with some of these players, that they may get burnout. But then again, we could argue that they certainly get the money to compensate for the burnout they may be suffering.
And you don't get much of a break either, because before you know it, you'll be back covering La Liga games. Although that's a little bit later start, is it, than the Premier League?
I'm so laid back at the moment. I haven't even looked at when La Liga starts next year. Generally, we're a couple of weeks later, because they have the Spanish Super Cup. Of course, next year will be Barcelona against Real Madrid. It's a busy month. I've got Germany this weekend against San Marino, and the Portugal game against Latvia. And then we've got the Euros, the under-21 Euros coming up, which is going to be intriguing, because with Spain, unless you have kind of achieved everything you can do with the under-21s, you don't get a call-up to the national team. It'd be interesting to see how many of the English players would be in the England team that do qualify to play for England, that are obviously not going to go. But with Spain, if you're of that age, you play. And luckily for me, I'm watching or commentating all of the Spain games at the Euros.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport. This is Radio City Talk.